Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This is the first Sunday of the month, and every first Sunday of the month, we partake in corporate communion. Every other Sunday, we have communion in the back, and it's for individuals, your families, but we always make it available to this church body. So as right now, as the servants are passing out the elements, take the cup. They're both put together. I'm sure most of you have already done this before, but sometimes they're hard to tear apart. Be careful that you don't spill it on you, spill the juice on you, but take them apart. When we're done, then you can pass them to the sides and the servants will pick them up from you. One of the things that comes to my mind as we do communion is that there are two elements, right? And when you think of the two elements, you know, God wanted this to be, and Jesus made it be, that when he was done and he said the words, finished, it was finished, right? No more to be done. These two elements that we take are symbols. They're reminders. God said, or Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so this is reminders of what he did on the cross. And you think about, I was thinking about this morning, when Adam and Eve took that forbidden fruit and they took a bite of it, it was a little sliver, because it says that she ate some. She didn't gobble up the whole apple or whatever that was. But she took a presumably a bite, and then she gave it to Adam, and he did the same thing. But it seems like it's a small sliver, right? That small sliver brought sin into the world. Okay? In the same token, when Jesus took the bread and he broke it, it was a small sliver, and he conquered sin. Amen. Right? So it's the heart that's behind it, the heart that brought us into sin, and the heart that took us out of sin that we look at. When we look at the symbol of the juice is the blood that he shed, right? And it's a little bitty juice thing compared to that he shed every drop of blood that he had within him. So these are symbols, but these are things to remind us of what really happened. It wasn't a small thing. Our Lord Jesus gave up all that he had so that we could be whole, his broken body, the shed blood, that it would cover our sins. He not only took care of our spiritual part, that we are now able to walk into that throne room and go to heaven, but he also took care of that part, that our wholeness while we're here on earth. His broken body takes the place of those areas in our body. We should not have any sickness or disease in our bodies. He paid for it. The word says that by his stripes we've been healed. Word says that we're no longer sinners. We were sinners. We're no longer sinners. All taken care of. So when Jesus said, it is finished, hold on to that. Do not hold on to anything that would take you back to a place that you gave up when you said, yes, Lord. So let's all stand, please. The word says that, as I said earlier, that what we do today is just a remembrance. He doesn't want us to forget. And sometimes our busy lives maybe take us to a place that this becomes second nature, but it's not. And this is not a ritual. Even though we may do it monthly or weekly, or some of us are hopefully are even doing it at home. You know, there's never a set time to do this, but it's a remembrance of what he did. So Jesus, after he gave thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said that this was his body broken for us. Take the body. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, this was, which we know now is just the representation of the blood that he shed on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. No longer are we sinners, right? Just take the cup. And just take a moment to remember. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work that you did on that cross. We thank you, Lord, that we are free, Lord, free from sin, free from those lies, Lord, that the enemy would put upon us. Thank you, Lord, for that you are our Lord. You are our Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you love this church body, that you love us as individuals, that you see us as individuals, that you see each heart, and Lord, you're there. And that every day, you don't leave us where we are, Lord. You take us to a new place, Lord. You are new every morning. Lord, I pray that this morning you receive the worship and the praise that comes forth from this body, because you deserve it, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Amen.
Seem to have a lot of breath this morning, but with everything I've got, I do want to praise him. As long as I have breath, I want to praise him. I had an interesting morning. Usually there's a lot going on in this little brain and heart, and it was just blank. And I said, Lord, where are you? And I wound up crying out to him. And I believe that's okay sometimes, to cry out, get serious with God. And he gave me a scripture, because it didn't have anything on the screen. And it's from the Song of Songs. Catch the little foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining our vineyard while it's in blossom. And I thought, I kind of get that, you know. Stop stuff, get rid of stuff. Little things sometimes can become big things if we let them go. And I was kind of thinking about that, and then all of a sudden on my phone, my screen, it popped up, my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross daily and follow after me. And I thought, Lord, I'm still whining around about this other stuff. And he said, let it go. Let it go. You got the power to let it go. Let it go, and let's let the door be open to praise him and to honor him. And the neat thing about the cross, it's the doorway to the future. Get to looking at it that way. I looked at some of these things differently when I was younger. But now the cross is a good thing. There's more that I could share all of a sudden once I get started, but I won't. I just thank God that we can forget about ourselves for this little bit. Think about God, concentrate on God, and think about one another, love one another. The Bible says it's by our love for one another that the world will know that we're his disciples. So don't be fooled and think we can get by with gossip and backbiting and all that stuff. We can't. And that ruins our witness, our testimony. So God's got great plans for this church. That's why we're here. And you saved our life. You really did. There's a series of events that happened that is, I so appreciate Pastor's word that he prays in tongues all the time. Because I used to pray in tongues in my sleep. That's pretty cool. But anyway, I've kind of cooled down. You know, you can cool down a little bit, and it's gradual, like the little foxes. But we can also get up and go on. And he gives us the power, the grace to do that. And so today, I don't know what this day means to you, but it means to me more than I can tell you. What an answer. Huh? But let this day mean all to you that it means to God. I'll stop.
Well, y'all, I just need to share this. I had an opportunity to go camping last weekend with my daughter and son-in-law. My daughter kept telling me it was just going to be the kids, nephews, nieces. You probably don't want to go, Mom. And I'm like, no, I really feel like I want to go. So we go, and I start meeting these nieces and nephews, and then the great nieces and nephews, and great-great nieces and nephews. So there's a lineage here of troubled children. A lot of them are brothers and sisters, but they're also cousins because their parents couldn't raise them, so an uncle took them in. I learned about this one gal. Her name is Angelique. 3 years ago, she was in a terrible ATV accident and went off a cliff. They did not expect her to live. I met her. She is walking, she is talking. She was in the midst of healing spiritually. And then just a few months ago, being back in her mother's life, her mother still doing drugs and alcohol, she came to Angelique and said she needed to borrow her car. So Angelique gave her the keys. About 6 hours later, they came and told her that her mother didn't make it across the train track and ran into the train. And after the investigation and other siblings coming forward and friends coming forward, the conversation was, how many times had we beaten that train? They would be so messed up in their heads and play chicken with the train. But she didn't make it. And Angelique, there was just this such a strong draw to her. And I could feel the Holy Spirit working through me and talking with this child. And we had an opportunity to be alone. And I just grabbed her hands from across the table and started praying with her. I said, I have been praying for you for a few years now. I didn't even know who you were, but you had had this tragic accident. I had no idea about your mother. About that time, my phone has this little jingle, and it's church bells ringing when it's time for prayer time. And she goes, is Jesus calling? I really need to talk to him. And so we prayed. And I've just felt this anointing over me and embodying her, because she doesn't have anybody else that's going to do this with her or do this for her. Some of the other siblings, they knew something was up. We were crying. We were holding hands. And so they came, and a couple other cousins sat down with us, and we were able to talk. And I truly believe this was a good thing, by them being able to talk to a perfect stranger. You know, I'm only related through marriage, you know, because of their Uncle Artie. And the little kids singing songs Sunday morning, like they'd been to Sunday school, on their way fishing, coming back, and just, it was just awesome. So I just wanted to share that it was really my first encounter of my prayer language. And I have been dealing with this. I mean, it's like been right there, but no sounds were coming out. And my sounds are coming out. Thank God.
Hello, I just wanted to talk to you guys this morning about forgiveness, because I've had some trouble with forgiveness with my biological father, because the things he's done and said, but I just wanted to talk to you guys about it, because it's so important that we all forgive people that have done us wrong. Because when Jesus was on the cross, people, they're spitting on him, cursing at him. He was being stabbed, and even in those moments, he said, God, please forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And I just wanted to say that it's very important to forgive and be like Jesus.
Up here most of the time when he's here and talks about his dad, and everybody I can see gets moved to tears. But you can see that God is moving in his life, because there is such a big difference in his life, and you can tell, and you can see God shining through him. And that's the good part, is that there's kids that you can tell that they're not afraid to get up there and talk about God, and they're not afraid, and you can see it through them. You can see the light. And that's why a lot of the times people are like, well, I can see the light, but what's the light for? It's Jesus. It's God. He's shining through you. So I know Isaac has a very bright light, and everybody can see it.
I got a testimony as well. This weekend, my son, and my husband, you know, one day I know God is going to bring him to church. That's my prayer right now, for them to come to church. But my son brought two friends this weekend, and I had no idea. I woke up in the morning, walked into the living room, and they were sleeping on the couch, and I knew the little girl, you know, because she's one of our friend's daughters, and they were sleeping, and after a while, you know, they got up, the Holy Spirit touched me, and I knew she wasn't doing good. She was really thin. Holy Spirit told me, pray for them. They need the Lord. So I did. It come to know that they're homeless, they're heavy in drugs, and she lost her brother, I want to say about maybe 6 months ago, to influenza, and he didn't make it. He was 16 years old, very attached to this little boy we were. He called me his second mom. He called my husband his second dad. And we saw him like our son. The Lord took him. Lord knows why. And he's in heaven right now. He's glorifying. And one day I'll see him. But now his sister is down, you know, in drug addictions and all that. And me and my daughter and Jessalyn and another little girl, their friends were there. We all were holding hands, and we had this powerful prayer for them. But before we prayed for her, we were like, mijita, is it okay if we can pray for you? And her eyes got big. You know, I knew she was on something at the moment. And she said, yes, I need it. I need it. So we prayed for her, and I know the Holy Spirit, I know God touched her. And I'm going to continue to pray for her and pray for them. They've been through a lot. That family needs the Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. And my husband is actually making changes. He's still drinking and stuff, but not like he used to. It's been like 2 weeks that he's been cutting down on beer. He'll have a few and that's it. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, you're answering my prayers. And one day you'll see him here. And you'll see my son and my daughter as well. My other daughter. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to say something. I wasn't going to say anything, but my grandmother had me on my knees when I was real, real young. My grandpa was a hell raiser. He could cuss you up one side and down the other. But he loved me. And I'd go with him in the truck. It stunk like crazy because he's chewing tobacco. And we're going to go get slop. Does anybody know what slop is? Well, he's going to go get this slop, and he takes me with him. I stink. He stinks. He doesn't know the Lord, but my grandmother did. She'd be on her knees praying and praying. One day, he goes to Fort Bell elevator, throws his chewing tobacco in the fire, give his heart to the Lord. My grandmother was so pleased, and I loved her so much. When she was young, she was a beautiful woman. I got a picture of her. She's a beautiful woman. Someone came and gave her medicine, and it ate her face up. She had to wear pads under her eyes. Her mouth was, it was terrible. But she was a good woman, and she showed me Christ. And I'll never forget it. So be good to your kids. Be good to your grandchildren. And show them the Lord. They'll see it. They'll see it.
So we've been talking about and singing about sweet incense. And sweet incense, when we're singing about this, God is reminding me that sweet incense is prayers. And when we pray, there are bowls in heaven that are getting filled. And some of you are waiting for certain situations to occur. And I'm saying it to my sister right now. The Lord knows the time. He knows. And those bowls, a prayer, my sister, that you've been saying for your sister, they're going to tip over. God is a God of faithfulness and of timing, and He knows the perfect time, and He has her in the palm of His hands, and He will not let her go. He'll never leave her nor forsake her, my sister. So the Lord reminded me again that He hears our prayers as sweet incense.
And in Leviticus 16:12, I'm going to try to read that because that's where he led me to go. In Leviticus 16:12. So here he says, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely grounded fragrance of incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord. Thank you. Okay, so he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover over the tablets of the covenant law so that he will not die. So this is our Lord telling us what we are to be doing. We're to be burning that sweet incense, burning our hearts, desires, and giving them unto him in the form of a sweet aroma. It's an aroma that pleases him. It's an aroma that honors him. And he is faithful. And you will see, each and every one of you, I'm speaking to all of you and myself, we will see the desires of our heart. And what is it, the desire of our heart that he's placed within us? The desire to see our families in the fold, in the kingdom. The prodigal sons and daughters are returning. The Lord spoke it to me this morning in prayer, and I'm declaring it and decreeing it to all of you that are waiting for your sons and daughters to come in. All the prodigal sons and daughters, they will come in. Why? Because of the sweet incense that you've been sending to the Lord in heaven. And those bowls are overflowing. And we're just to have that hope in our hearts. I have three daughters that are not there, three son-in-laws that are not there. But they're coming in, and so are all of yours. They're coming in because of the sweet incense. So thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you do, Father, receive the incense that we've been singing to you of this morning and that we've been praying to you for. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I know Rebecca's getting ready, so praise God. Hey, hallelujah. I was just listening to that, how the incense would conceal the sins of the people. Did you hear that part? How many know that God's not looking to conceal anything anymore? Can you say amen to that? God is not, God has covered our sins. Can you say amen to that? His blood has washed them away. Amen? So what he's done is open the door for us to walk in the newness of life. How many say amen to that? How many know that God is calling us to walk with a brightness that we've never walked with before? You remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Olives? You remember that? Was it the Mount of Olives? But anyway, when he was on the mountain, he was transfigured. And that same glory that came up out of him, he's placed within us. Can you say amen? That's the Holy Ghost. And he says, I want you to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and allow the Spirit to lead you, guide you, and show you everything that I have for you. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you something, folks? It's not going to be so much outside your house, or it's going to be in your closet. It's going to be when you're praying that God is going to reveal the things to you by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Glory to God. He's doing a work. And those that will go after him, those that will seek him, those that will take the, you know what? Deny yourself. Isn't that right, brother? Yeah. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and allow God to do the new work within you. Can you say amen? Yeah. See, it's when we lay down our lives, then he resurrects our lives. Can you say amen? Yeah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. How many of you want to walk in resurrection life? How many know that resurrection life is the only place to walk with God? Whew, hallelujah. something? You got something? Yeah.
He does answer prayer. Even if it takes 37 years, he answers prayer. And he doesn't leave us or forsake us, even in our darkest times. And can I tell you, after 37 years of prayer, it was a total of 40 years, literally. After 37 years, chains were broken, bonds were paid. The chains were broken. There was freedom. He answers prayer. Don't give up. He leaves those 99 to find that lost. He leaves the 99 to go find the lost. And it took 37 years of prayer, but chains were broken.
Good morning. Sorry, I had to, while I was actually worshiping, God gave me something. So let's see how this works, okay? It's going to kind of be an experiment with you guys, but I think it'll be really good. Everything that everybody's been talking about today, you pretty much preached my sermon. So I'm going to give you some scriptures, and we're going to go through some stuff. But it's, God, just like everybody was saying, we are resurrected right into new life. And that's the thing. In being resurrected, we are meant to let go of past things and move forward into the new things, right? And there's little things, right, in our lives that sometimes, like, they try to pop up here and there, and we'll try to hang on to them. Like, we will definitely try to be like, that's not that bad. Like, or, you know, well, I'm only human. That's why I did that. Or, you know, things like that. But see, really what they are in our life is they are excuses for why we're not functioning according to what the Word of God is telling us to. And this is the thing, is this is, I know, a very, very loving word to the body about what God is wanting to do in our lives. It's not a, you know, if you got things that are going on in your life, or you're holding on to some things, I just encourage you, write these scriptures down, go after God for them, because that's the thing, is God is wanting to talk to us about moving into a whole different area, right? Operating in the kingdom, not staying where we're at or functioning like the world, but becoming who he's called us to become, which is exactly like him, an image of who he is, right? Okay, so I'd like to start, the title of my sermon is Without Excuse. And I just want to go over, because I kind of talked about excuses already. And so I just wanted to go over the definition in the Webster's Dictionary of what an excuse is, right? So the definition for excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame attaching to, in parentheses, a fault or offense, seek to defend or justify, okay? The second one it gives is release, in parentheses, someone, from a duty or requirement, right? So, you know, excuse, right, is to try to put off blame, right? That's what it's telling us. That's according to the dictionary, right? And that's the thing, is God has given us new life. And we have no excuse for living in old things, because he has freed us. He's given everything that we need. He's given us his word. He's given us him, right? Communication, one-on-one with him. All the tools that we need to have no excuses so that we can walk in what he's given us, right? So if you want to open with me, I'm actually going to start in Acts chapter 9. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to start right off with Saul, right, who was totally not walking according to God's will to begin with, right? He was persecuting Christians, like he was the one hunting them down, bringing them in, right? And what we're going to read, God gets a hold of him, right? So, okay, so starting on chapter 9, verse 1. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, put that. I'm teachable. So, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Amen. Okay. Amen. Hey, you're supposed to be okay. So you can stop now though, because I stopped. Okay. So in this first part, I just want to point out, right? There's certain key points that really popped out to me in the story. I've heard this story so many times growing up, right? But in preparing for this lesson, I was like, whoa, I never saw that before, right? There's these really cool parts. Like, I always remember him, God coming to him, right? I remember him like losing his sight, being for 3 days, right? I remember all of that, but I never remembered the part where when Ananias comes in and he speaks to him, and then it talks about he was filled with the Holy Ghost, right? And then it talks about how he's going out and he's speaking right off, right? And then at the end, in verse 22, it says, but Saul increased the more in strength. See, whenever we've got the Holy Ghost working in our life, we're increasing in strength, right? When we're going after God, when we're pressing in, when we're going into the Word, we are increasing in strength. God is giving us things. He's like, that's why, even for me, reading a story that I've read I don't know how many times, there's new things because God is alive. He's working in every single part of it, right? And as you go after him, he works in your life. He works in areas in your life and he does things and pulls things out and puts things in, right? And it's a constant transformation that's happening in your life as you're going after him, right? So if we move, I would like to go to, let's go to Ephesians 4:21. Yes. And it says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So I took only this part because it goes on to talk about how, like, you know, if you stay away from these certain things, like, don't do these things. But this is talking specifically about this area, right? Which is, if you indeed are changed in God, you're going to let go of some old things, right? So that's the thing. See, whew, okay. I'm getting excited because, listen, so this is the thing, right? Is that this is where the church runs into so many problems, right? Because the truth is church is people, right? But that's the thing, is that we say, there's not us, no, not, I mean, people in general, they say a prayer and they say, I'm saved. But see, that's the thing, is that God's got a whole more set of things that he's wanting to work in your life. It doesn't just stop at the prayer, okay? It doesn't just stop at that moment of repentance. He's wanting to continue the work. See, that's the thing. There's nothing that you have to do on your own. See, it's a relationship, right? He is doing things in your life. He knew you were coming to the moment where you were going to be saved of salvation, right? Yeah. He knew it, and he never at any moment was just like, okay, you're good, and walked away from you. No, he's there all the time. Yeah. He's waiting for you to just continue to keep diving in because he wants to continue to keep giving you things. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing, is we're not meant to just be saved and then we're good. I'm walking away and doing my thing. No, see, this part of the Bible talks about how you specifically, it says, it tells us, right? If indeed you have heard him. Now, in the Bible, it is in my Bible, it's a capital H, him, okay? So indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, yeah, in true righteousness, yeah, and holiness. See, it's a whole process, right? Of let me take this off. It's gone, right? It's the whole thing we talk about with baptism, right? You're going under, you're letting go of the old, you're coming up as a new man, yeah, a new creation. See, so those things are gone. So we can't have any of these excuses of, well, I'm just human, so I just made that mistake. Okay, if you made a mistake, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not saying that people can't make a mistake. I am saying that it's not God's will for you to continue walking in mistakes regularly and all the time. See, that's the thing. It shouldn't be an excuse of, well, it's okay because I'm just human. No, you were created in the image of God. See, you're meant to be a direct reflection of who the Father is. And as you build a relationship with him and as you go after him, that old man just, it continues to disappear and disappear because now everything that God's giving you is doing a weeding out of your life and it's bringing forth things that he has for you. See, it's not a work that you have to do on your own of, I gotta figure out how to stop this problem. I gotta figure out how to let go of this addiction, or I have to figure out how to stop, you know, this routine that I'm used to doing. That's not, don't worry about all of that. You know, one of the things I really love is, I don't know how many times I hear Tommy talk about how if you just go after God, like, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things shall be added to you, right? It's that same thing. See, as we dive in and we go, right? God continues to give. Don't be so concerned about how you fix things. Let God fix them for you. Just go after God and he'll begin to give you all the things you need to release you from things that maybe you've struggled with, things that you've been stuck with, things maybe unforgiveness that you've continued to hold on to, hurt that you can't seem to let go, all of those things. If you allow God to work in your life, you'll just begin to see things just begin to fall away. That, and not because of what you're doing, but just because he's making a change within. Yeah. Right? So, okay, let's go to let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's the thing. Same thing we were just talking about, right? You are... It is a process, right? As he is doing things in your life, as he's revealing things, just like it says, first of all, there's liberty, right? That's what he says. There's freedom in it. And see, and that's what we were just talking about. See, it's he will work it in your life. He will. As you're going after him, he knows us better than we know us. He knows the things that we say, oh, that's not a problem. And he's saying, I think I want you to look at this more. Yes. You know what I mean? See, that's the thing, is he loves us. He loves us so much so that when we come to him, he wants to work things in our good, right? And that's a working even of the things that are going on within, the things that he's needing to get out so that he can place new things in there for you. See, that's the thing, is he is constantly, as we dive in, he's constantly working. He's constantly moving, right? Okay, so let's go to... Galatians 2:20, and it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, so it's not us. This is the same thing we've been talking about. All these scriptures, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. And all those scriptures are just going to be to just keep building on what God's telling you, right? Is that it's not us, it's him in us. So let him do the work because he's working out it out for us, for our good, right? Yeah. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so he's bringing us to him, right? And that's the thing, is he's saying everything, guys, I cannot stress this enough this morning. Anything that's of the old man, just let it go. It's one of the best things that you can do. Just let it go. If like we said, if it's unforgiveness, whatever it might be, it's old stuff. See, it's like setting goals, like in business and life, right? When you decide, I want to do this, and you set a goal, and that's what you're heading for, you're not going to keep moving backwards, right, as you move towards that goal. Right. Otherwise, you're never going to get to it, right?
Right.
See, the Bible tells us that the path is narrow, right? Yep. But that's the thing. It's not impossible. See, it's just that if we keep our eyes on God, he leads us right down it.
Right.
See, as we dive into what God's giving us and we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, that's why I'm saying, do you know, there's so many times that God's working on things with me and I'm going after the word. So I don't even realize sometimes what it is until I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, I used to do that. And that's the thing, is that because it's not a focus on what you need to change, just go after him and he'll begin to work things in your life according to what he's speaking to you on. See, this is the importance of having a consistent relationship with God, right? That time that you're spending diving into the word, going after him, see, it's even those times where you feel like you aren't, maybe, okay, how many of you have had that day where you read the word and you're like, I don't get it. Or you're like, you read the word and you're just like, I think I'm going to have to read that again. Because maybe you just got lost in it all, right? Or like, it was a bunch of names or something, right? Whatever it is. And you just, it was not as easy as the other times where it's like a light bulb went off, right? But that's the thing, is even those times when you're going after God, you will be surprised what he's writing upon your heart that you're not even aware of at the time. See, that's the thing, is that there are seeds that are being thrown out as you go through that word and you're speaking things, and he's going to build them up and he's going to give you things and he's going to begin to let them sprout and grow. And just because you think nothing was happening doesn't mean that he's not working. See, the time spent with him is so important in our lives, because now we're not just people who are doing things according to what we think and a tradition and a way. We're doing things according to what God's called us to do, because now we're actually walking with him. We're actually hearing from him. We're seeing what he's saying. He's working within us, and our life is becoming that light that shines so bright, because now it's not us, it's him. Let's go to, okay. Whew. I can feel it. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 15, and we're going to read 1 through 20. And it says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made... Uh-oh.
Sorry,
I lost it.
Yeah.
Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes unto the mouth, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. They are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Okay, this scripture has a lot to, we just talked about tradition, right? Like, that's the thing is, we get real used to, so I grew up in a church, like my whole life. So, and that's the thing is, I know that there was a lot of things I even heard growing up, right? Like that, even the things that we talked about, which is like, you know, you're only human. Like, you know, you're going to make mistakes and stuff, which I get that. Nobody's perfect. I get that what they're trying to say is, you know, you're going to have some missteps or whatever. But that's the thing is, like, a lot of my life, I grew up hearing this, like, you're not perfect. But then when you read the Word of God, you really get a lot of things that talk about how he's perfecting us. And that's the thing is, there was a lot of, like, it was very contrary when she started going after the Word, right? But that's the thing is, see, the Pharisees knew the Word, right? Like, that's the thing is, in the Bible, in encounters that Jesus had with them, there was times where that's what they used against him, right? And, but see, that's the thing is, this is where religion can get into a lot of trouble, right? Is because sometimes people just take something that they read and they kind of manipulate it towards what they need, right? But see, that's not the way that the Word's meant to work in your life. That's why the Holy Spirit speaking to us, working with us, is so important. It's the whole reason that God gave us that gift, is so that, you know, in the scripture that we read before that talked about the veil, right? See, the Holy Spirit allows for revelation to happen in our life so that we can see without that veil, right? Where he can allow, he can give us things, he can continue to reveal things and show us things in a new light, right? So it's so important that we understand that if God is speaking to us about things and he's showing us things, allow him to give you the witnesses, because he will. By two or three witnesses will anything be established, right? And as you go after God, even those moments when you feel like, well, I don't know, God, because I've been taught this my whole life, right? He will give you things to show you. No, let me show you here. And let me show you here. And I'll show you again. And he'll speak to you too, to give you confirmation of the things that he's telling you. It's why it's important for us to allow him to work instead of just, whew. You know that this is a reason why it's so important to have one-on-one time with God, not just time listening to maybe preachers speaking a sermon or reading a book somebody wrote. It's, see, that's the thing is, I like to read. I get it. I really like to read. I enjoy reading. It's like a calming thing for me. But That's the thing, is reading the word, there's so many things that God will give you. See, and he'll speak to you on things. Sometimes when we're constantly spending our time in reading somebody else's stuff or hearing somebody else's sermons, sometimes we just let that skew us to the way we're already thinking, right? Because maybe we felt like, oh, that was really good. So I think that's what it is. But sometimes God might be saying, hold on. I'm trying to show you something in that, but you gotta come let me show you. You know what I mean? See, it's why that time with God and his word and that personal time is so important compared to, like, if you like, I'm not saying if you like to listen to a pastor, listen to the pastor, but build that relationship independently as well. It's the whole reason we talk about independently dependent upon God, right? Is because, see, we're blessed with pastors and we're blessed with a church to come together and have a congregation that'll build us up, that we can commune in, right? And we can come to. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't desire to speak to you on one-on-one. See, he wants that one-on-one relationship. He wants to be able to work some things out with you specifically. He wants to be able to you know, speak to you and give you new things and do new things through you. And that's all comes in your one-on-one time. Right, see, God is God. He can still keep turning you where he's wanting you to turn if you're not reading. But can I tell you, it is a blessing to be in the word and to be hearing what God's saying, because it really does build, right? It builds up your ability to hear him. It builds up your ability to know it's him. That's the thing, is you get to know him. So you're building a relationship, okay?
Yes.
Let's go to Second Corinthians 4:16-18. This one says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So remember that time spent, right? It's working things in your life. And that's the thing, is what he's saying here. This is the same thing I was telling you. Don't weary yourself with thinking like, I got to do this right now, or I got to fix this now. Like, just let God fix it. Cause that's what he's saying. What you're seeing on the outside, he's working on the inside. There's an inward thing happening, right? There's things that are going on inside that he's working in you. So don't be weary. He's telling you, keep going, right? Because what you feel is rough right now, it's temporary, because he's giving you so much more. Right? He's setting you up for eternal blessings instead of monetary, right? Something that's just a little bit right now, right? Okay. Let's go to Colossians 3:1-4. Sorry, I feel like I'm running out of time. Okay. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, so let me read that again, because I kind of messed that up for you guys. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? So just same thing. Don't look at what's happening here around you physically, right? See, as God begins to work in you and you begin to operate in the kingdom, you really got to start letting go of what you think things, the way you think things should happen, the way you want them to happen, the way you think they should be working together because of science or because of this or because of that. Let it all go. Okay? Because that's what he's saying. Focus on me. Focus on the kingdom, not on the earthly things that are happening. See, this building up process becomes extremely important for us because as we move into an area where there's a lot of people who do not believe anything that we believe, right? And that are doing all of these crazy things, like that's the thing, is you are meant to still minister in that field. See, you weren't placed in this time for it to be like, oh man, God, like, I think you put me in the wrong time because I can't do anything. No. You were placed in this time because this is when he knew that you would work in this time, right? So that's the thing, is he didn't make an accident. It wasn't an accident that you were placed in this time. You were created for such a time as this. That's the thing. So don't focus on what you're seeing around you, and don't focus on the way that you think things should be happening or the way that, God, that's impossible because I just know that it's impossible. Well, impossible to who? The world? Because that's the thing, is you're not meant to look at things the way that the world looks at them. You're meant to look at them the way that the kingdom tells us, and the kingdom tells us that all things are possible. See, so even when we don't understand how it works together, even when we don't understand, like, how am I going to let this go? How do I loose that old man? It doesn't matter. Keep going after him because he's going to work it for you. See, stay focused on him. Stay focused on the things above, and he works the rest out for you. It's staying focused on the kingdom and not on the earth, right? Okay, let's go to Romans 1:18 through 22. And it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." Okay, so we're just going to stop there because that scripture, it is so true that when you start going after God, you're going to see it all around you, right? It's all things really are like, I know we say all things work together for good, but seriously, all things on this earth are working to glorify the creator who made it.
Come on. Yeah, right.
And when we look at those things and we see it, we see this just, it's like a manifestation of just an awesomeness of who God is. I like that it says a Godhead, right? Yeah. Because that's the thing, is like, it's all working together for who he is. And it's going to happen in your life too, where as you go after God, it is undeniable who he is and what he's doing. See, that's the thing. As we get to know him, as we go after him, as we really press in, the things that he begins to give us, the things that he begins to pour into us, the things that he begins to speak to us, they just continue to glorify who he is. See, it's this opening of our eyes, right? That happens. And just like this says, I just love that this scripture talks about when we move away from all of the unrighteousness, right? All of the things that we're not supposed to have in our life. And we realize who God is, it's this without excuse. You cannot deny who he is in your life. See, and that portion is actually our power verse, Romans 1:20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, our Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, go after him, because he's going to give you all of these things, and he's going to show you who he is. See, that's the thing, is there, when he works in our lives and there's that transformation of our mind that takes place, like, we cannot deny who he is and how he works, what he's doing, the things he's doing in our lives, the way he's working, the blessings he's placing there, the way he works out situations in our lives, all of those things, they are building up in your life. It's like a building of blocks, right? And as God works, it is undeniable who he is and what he's doing and how he's working. And that's the thing is, see, this is the point. If we are making excuses, we're not walking in a direction that's going towards him. See, if we're making excuses, we're doing a little wandering here and a little wandering there, right? But that's the thing, is he's telling us, it's go after him, because that's the thing, is then you know there is no excuse. He's given us every single thing that we need. He's given us every tool that we need to get rid of those things in our lives that we need to let go of. See, we need to stop making excuses and just start looking at who he is. See, as a church, if we just look at who God is, you will notice how much of a one we become, right? Because that's the thing, is God is truth. So he is going to give us things, and he is going to speak to us. And instead of us doing this all the time, we're going to begin to just like work together, because that's the thing, is he works those things out in our life. He begins to speak to you about anger issues, about unforgiveness, about, I don't know, your unhappiness with your neighbor, like all of those different things. Those are things he begins to work out too. He begins to increase the love in your life, right? Which he begins to show you who he is, which is love. And as he does that, the things that happen in your life, I guarantee you, you will see them bring all of us more together instead of any kind of division. Yes. See, because he does not create division between people. He doesn't. See, it's us who creates division, right? See, it's that kind, just like Pastor's been talking about, it's that self, right? That thinking of like what I feel and what I think and what I, that a lot of times gets in the way of those areas. But see, God wants to talk to us on those areas. Those are those areas of transformation, right? And that's why you will begin to see that now as he's speaking to you, it really is a working together. Like it's bringing it all together, right? And you'll begin to see that the things God's giving you, it'll be one of the moments why it's so cool when you come into church and you're speaking to people and you're hearing one thing here, you're hearing one thing there, but God's really speaking to you guys about the same things, right? See, even though you're independently being instructed by God, he is building us up to be a reflection of him. That's not a reflection of like 50 other people. It's a reflection of him, the one who created us, which means we'll just begin to shine and look more alike than ever, right? It's why he talks about waiting for his bride to rise up, right? Because as the church comes together, you begin to see this bride just rise up and become everything that they were meant to be, everything he created them to be in the world. Woo! It's awesome, right? Yeah. But that's the thing, is all of these things happen as we go here. As we allow God to speak to us, give us new things, and build us up. Okay? Let's go to Ezekiel 36, 27. It says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. See, God is setting you up for greatness.
Yeah, come on.
See, things that come up in your life, you'll begin to worry less when you understand, you know what, God, it is in your hands. And as you go after him in those moments, you will begin to see his working instead of us getting in the way of what he's trying to do, right? See, that's what I love. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Yeah. That's what it says in it with a capital M. He's telling us, I'm putting my spirit within you. And then see, as he works, you're going to walk according to his statutes, not according to what we think, not according to the way we think things should be, not according to our emotions or the way we're feeling, but according to what God has for us, according to the things that he's trying to do in our life and the places he's trying to take us to, right? And it says, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, right? See, I will get rid of it all. He's not just saying, I'll get rid of a little. No, he is saying, I will get rid of your uncleanness. I am setting you up for greatness. I'm giving you all the things that I want to give you. See, God wants to pour into our lives. He wants to give us things. He wants to minister to us. He wants to teach us and lead us. And if we would allow ourselves to dive in and focus on who he is, you begin to see that kingdom just come alive in your life. Let's go to Psalms 25. Oh, gosh. And it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. This is what we need to do. We need to learn God's got all of the answers, all the tools we need, all of the things that we need to navigate what's happening in our lives. He's got it all. So all we got to do, on you, I wait all day. See, God is really teaching this to me, because I read every single day. I do. But I have done a whole lot more of worshiping in the spirit during the day. I'll just be walking around my house. I'll worship. I will be working and I'll be worshiping. See, I am seeing that God is not, it's not just my readings, but it's my whole day of just like worshiping, praising. Because that's the thing, is even when things are happening in our life, it doesn't matter. We don't need to be derailed because of it. Okay, see, if God's got us walking in a path and something comes up, we don't need to, oh, let me figure out how to go this way. Or let me figure out how to maneuver this way so maybe I get back over there. If he's speaking to us, just wait. If there's something there and you're not sure, what do I do? How do I navigate this? Or any of those questions you might have, it doesn't mean that you gotta figure it out yourself. Just wait. Amen. Wait on him all day. Right? Worship him. Praise him. Things are happening at work. Be praying. Be in the spirit. Continue to go. It doesn't just have to be at home. It doesn't have to just be when you're reading your Bible either. You can be worshiping God in the car. You can be worshiping God in your cubicle at work. You can be worshiping God in all the things you're doing, because that's the thing, is he's with us all the time. He's within us. So where we're at, he's at with us. So if we allow God to work and we go after him all day, you see the kingdom come alive. You do, because you begin to see all those things working, just come together and pulling things in our lives in ways that we never expected. Yeah. I loved what Gina talked about this morning, because see, it doesn't matter that her husband doesn't believe in what she believes in. What matters is that she is walking and going after God. Because see, as she is focusing on kingdom things, not on what's happening with her husband right now, as she's focusing on kingdom things, God is working in her husband and dealing with the earthly. But see, all she's got to do is go after what God's giving her. See, all she's got to do is focus, right? See, so often we lose focus. We think that we gotta solve things on our own, and we gotta do things on our own, and we gotta figure it out. You don't have to figure out anything. Let God figure it out. You learn who he is, so that when he reveals it, you're prepped and you're ready. Yeah, sure. See, that's the thing. Allow him to move. Go after him all the time, because even when you don't see what he's doing, he's doing it. Okay? Let's go. Liz, you're not going to have this one, so don't worry. It's one that God gave me. It was dealing with this. It's 2 Timothy 2:21, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter." Okay, so it's talking about like sins and all of the things that fleshly things, right? It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." See, okay, so I think this jar was a little too big, but it still works. See, what God gave me in the middle of, because I did not have this planned, I had to kind of like go find all this stuff, but this is the thing. See, this was more red when we started, right? Like, yeah. Real red, okay? And you can see, yeah, you can see that it's a lot clearer on the bottom than the top right here. See, we're a vessel, right? And in this area, it talks about like vessels that are made of different things and that aren't honored on, and the ones that are honored, right? Well, it talks about all this stuff. But in this part, it says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work," right? See, this is the thing. We're a vessel, okay? Yeah. And, you know, maybe when we got saved, we had all this red in us, all this craziness, right? That maybe, like, we just, anger. We needed God to deal with, right? But see, that's the thing, is I wanted him to be pouring every time I was reading, because that's what God, it's a visual of what God does in our life, right? As we're going into the word and we're communing with him and he's revealing and transforming us, he's literally transforming, right? It's like, it's a cleaning. He's pouring into our life. The word's pouring into our life. The Holy Spirit's working things. It's showing us things. And as we do all of those things, it begins to clear out all of this stuff, right? And that's the thing, is if we had loads of water right now, we could show visually that if you continue pouring those things in here, right, that water runs clear. See, and that's exactly what he's talking about in here. When we turn away from all of those dishonorable things, right? All those things that he's telling us, get away from it. The lusts, the you know, temptations, like all of the different things, whatever they might be in our lives, right? That as we move away from them, we let him go. We let that old man go and work towards what God's giving us, the new man, right? Allowing him to work and move. He cleans it out. See, it's that same thing. It's that focus on him. Going after him. Allowing him to work in our lives. Him pouring, right? Continuing to pour. Continuing to speak. Continuing to do things in our lives. And it continues to just clean us out. And continues to make us new. And continues to... Then, like this scripture tells us, it sanctifies us and makes us useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, it's a blessing. See, as we're focusing on him and going after him, and he's pouring and clearing and giving us new things. See, that's the thing. He's pouring in, right? It's not just that, oh, let me take all this stuff out and I'm going to leave you empty. No, he's pouring in and he's giving us things. And it's sanctifying and it is preparing us for the things he has. Yeah. See, it's amazing how the things that he does in our lives, it really works all things for good. See, it's not just that bad moments work things for good. All of the things that God's giving us work together for what he's created you for. See, that's why when you go to a gas station and you meet somebody, it's all of a sudden, it's like you can feel it. And you'll know, right? Oh, maybe God gave me something for you. And instead of it just being that you're kind of saying words to them, he will a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, he will give things specific to them because you're operating in the kingdom. You are prepared, right? Which means that he pulls things out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And the Bible also tells us that his word is written upon our heart. See, it doesn't matter if you think that you can't memorize the Bible from front to back. That's all right. Because as you're reading, you will begin to find there is more written upon your heart than you think is. See, because the things that you're reading and the things that you're, it's like consuming a meal, right? The things that you're taking in, the things that you're getting. See, he's writing them. And then just like it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you come in contact with somebody that he wants you to speak with, you'll realize that all of a sudden, all of this stuff just comes up and it comes out. And sometimes you'll be like, well, I don't remember even memorizing that or reading that necessarily. But that's the thing, is because you're taking it all in. He's calling it forth because you were prepared. See, just like this says, you are a vessel that he is preparing for what he has, right? And that as you're going after him and he's cleaning out all of this stuff, you are manifesting who he is. Because now all the stuff that you had in here, it's washed out, and he's giving you all of these things of who he's created you to be, which is giving you what you need to move forward in the areas that he's preparing you for.
That's right. Praise God.
See, that constant taking in of his word and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and reveal things to you really creates a transformation in our lives where it's not you, but it's him working through us that deals with us. I'm really sorry. I know I went over, but I just wanted to give you all of those scriptures because God wants to do things in all of us. And this church becomes more effective when we stop worrying about all of the earthly things and we allow him to work through us. See, that's the thing. Sometimes even when we're angry, we can have this feeling of like, oh God, tell me what to say to them, right? But it's funny because what you'll see in your life is a lot of times you'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll tell you what to say for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Because that's the thing, is he's working goodness in us. Like, he's not desiring for us to be walking up somebody being like, right? And if he is, then he's going to give us something to say in love, but it better be what he has to say, not what we're saying out of anger. See, that's the thing. God knows what he's doing. He's giving us things. And as we allow him to fill and to do and to for the Holy Spirit to be the thing that takes over in our life, over our body and our soul, you will begin to see that now you're operating according to who he is. You are showing who he is, because the things that were excuses before, they're gone. You can't hold on to them. As you become that new man, you got to let him go. You become transformed. Okay. Do you want?
Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rebecca. Hey, you know, hey, I know that God has great things for each and every one of us. You know, the Word of God, man, just before she... folks, we are in an unshakable kingdom. And we are we are governed, if you will, by an unchanging person. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when his word says all things work together for good, it's because he's doing a work in your life. Can you say amen to that? Can you stand up and let's pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message that Rebecca brought to us, Father, through the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts and continue to strengthen and build your body, Father, in the earth. Father, we are excited, Lord, to see the day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that you are Lord to the glory of God our Father. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work in our lives. Continue, Lord, to help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Does anybody agree with that? Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hug people's necks. Give everybody a handshake and smile.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.